Which medical drama on TV is the most accurate?
Actually, Marilyn and I, we used to watch ER when we were dating. But then as we got into med school, we just stopped watching it.
Yeah, you were like, House. House is accurate, right? If you want to make Dr. Valentine really mad, just when he starts talking about a medical case or condition, say, oh, yeah, I know what that is. I watch House.
Yeah.
And he's like, ugh. Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Hey, it's Lisa. Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we share advice with each other, you know, like you do when you're having lunch with a friend. I was reading your comments on social media and came across one from Amy on Instagram. She said that in her house, chores have to be done in order to earn TV and computer privileges. And that's how to get it done, folks. And that system isn't just for kids. I like my TV shows, so that would definitely be a motivator for me. Speaking of TV, I have my first friend and my first TV guru in the studio today, my big brother, Dr. Chris Valentine. Chris is an experienced physician, and I wanted to get some of his advice on health choices. And boy, did he come through. He's got 8 great tips for us that we can do to not only be healthier, but how to make the most of our doctor's appointments. Spoiler alert, the last one is my favorite, and I'm so excited for you to hear these 8 things, because if you're like me, having a simple, doable list of things to choose from to keep my health on track is just what I need right now. We'll get to Chris's 8 tips in a second, but let me introduce you to Chris. When I was a little girl, I used to think that my big brother knew everything, because no matter the day of the week it was, he always knew what was going to be on TV. I have gone to my brother for a lot of advice over the years, but it all really comes back to TV, like everything does.
Yes, Fantasy Island comes on after The Love Boat.
Yes, it does, on Saturday night.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. See? The things that you learn that you never forget. Well, now life has changed a little bit for the both of us since those days in Lincoln, Nebraska, in the basement, watching TV. We have a lot of really good memories, and I appreciate you coming on my show. Chris, well, I made a show.
This is great. I'm so proud of you. This is so great. I knew it.
But I didn't have you come on the show just to be nostalgic. I asked you to come on with your professional advice. I want to be able to pick your brain and get
that sounds painful.
I know. I knew you were going to say that. I knew when I walked right into it. I asked Chris for his best advice on how to stay healthy. And his first tip wasn't about cutting anything out. Instead, his first tip was to eat real unprocessed food.
Our diets have changed since we were kids. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean just you and I just mean collectively as in the United States in terms of the types of, not just the quote-unquote chemicals, but our diet is just very much based on a few major staples, you know? And there's nothing wrong with corn, but is there something wrong with, like, only corn or only wheat?
Oh, I see what you're saying. And are you also talking about made-up food?
Yes, like artificial food are you talking about?
Like, yeah,
are you talking
about, like synthetic? You know, I get most of my medical knowledge from Instagram Reels.
Oh, okay.
And I've seen some memes in Instagram Reels about how, like, 90% of the foods that we consume didn't exist 90 years ago. And I was thinking, oh, do they mean like Oreos and Doritos or is that what we're talking about?
Well, a few years ago, I was trying to be, you know, more mindful because I just realized, oh, you know, without really thinking, I realized, yeah, a lot of processed foods are just really making their way into my diet. So I go to the grocery store and I'm looking around and there is a section there, there's an aisle there that says natural foods. and I
so
just
weird.
Looked at it in a different way than I had before. It's like, well, natural foods, like, well, what does that mean everything else is? You know, exactly. And it really made me kind of think about most of the rest of the food in there was some sort of combination of, you know, some kind of grain, some coloring, some flavoring, and maybe some dairy, and just a variation on that, just in different kinds of packaging. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And a lot of it just highly preserved. And like I said, I'm not like anti all of that, but I'm just saying, but when that's all of it,
but okay.
I think that we can remove a lot of the stress by just
trying to eat more real foods, like more plants, more unprocessed real foods, I guess,
is what I'm saying. That seems really simple and like common sense.
I believe that a lot of the increase in diabetes and what we call metabolic syndrome, which sometimes people refer to as like pre-diabetes mm-hmm. or glucose intolerance, they all kind of mean the same thing. I think it's just the fact that our bodies are not capable of just year after year absorbing this many high glycemic index foods that are very easy to burn up very quickly, like your sugars and your starches, and we process them into really fine flour, which just makes for the most awesome pastries. I love
delicious.
And just like the flakiest
uh-huh.
croissants, but I think are responsible for our bodies becoming more insulin resistant, which then leads to high glucose levels, which leads to damage in our body, which is what diabetes is. And so that balance in making sure that we're consuming the right kinds of carbohydrates and other macronutrients, you know, proteins, and that getting that balance, I think that would go a long way. I think we get the most bang for our buck mm-hmm. in the United States by just addressing that one thing.
Just eating more plant-based.
Eating better.
Food.
Yes. And when I say better, I mean
natural.
Very specifically
yeah.
more natural, but a good, you know, a good balance. And like I said, don't want to go off the deep end. I think you have to do something that's going to be sustainable, but just taking those steps.
I was hoping Chris was going to tell me to eat more nachos, but you can't win them all. So Chris's first tip is eating more real plant-based food that isn't processed and making sure your meals are balanced. Dang that food pyramid. We just can't shake it. But I also appreciate that Chris didn't take the nachos completely off the table. He's just saying we should be more mindful and moderate about our food choices. So that's tip number one, eat real balanced food. Now, tip number two might not be what you were expecting. I had $10 on exercise. But Chris's second health tip has to do with sleep and wake times.
Well, I would say with sleep, I think it's more important that you're waking up at about the same time every day. At least that's what the evidence that I've read.
More important than when you go to bed?
Yeah. Because,
why?
Well, because you need to listen to your body. Because the way you set your circadian rhythm isn't so much when the lights go out, but when the lights turn on. So they have been able to determine that. So in other words, if you're getting light exposure in the morning—
That makes a lot of sense.
That basically is telling your system, and it's mediated through a gland in your brain. The key there is just to ensure that you've got a regular rhythm. And, you know, realizing everyone's schedules are sometimes out of control, but I think as much as possible, trying to keep that regular rhythm of waking up at about the same time.
So even if you go to bed later than usual— Like I did last night.
Yes.
Just wake up at the same time.
If
that's healthier?
That is long-term going to be healthier in terms of being able to regulate your sleep. Because as we get older, we don't get into the same amount of deep sleep where we measure the brain waves and we can differentiate the different mm-hmm. types of sleep. And it seems that different brainwave activity that we measured at different stages of sleep seems to have its own purposes. We think it has something to do with flushing toxins from the brain, but that's not really all of it. Some of it might have to do with just trying to reorganize a lot of complex learning that we do during the previous day, and we're kind of cutting out a lot of the static. And some people think that it has something to do with healing and having parts of the brain that need to recharge, or parts of the, not just the brain, but the body that need to downregulate certain chemical processes and upregulate other chemical processes to give us an opportunity to be ready for the next day. Hmm. And when we truncate that, we're kind of removing that prep time on a cellular level that then in the long run can be very, very harmful for us. Oh. So that's the reason why sleep apnea can be a problem for a lot of people, because they're not getting into that deep sleep because they're having problems breathing, and then it's keeping them from getting into that low-frequency brainwave activity that then can lead them to not feeling very well rested.
Yeah.
And then that can have real health consequences because that releases stress hormones. Those stress hormones in turn lead to complications, including cardiovascular disease, which can lead to heart attack and stroke. And so it's just a contributing factor. And who knew that
sleep
was probably a major risk factor to that?
Everything's connected.
Yep. No,
the
it
body.
Is. Yeah.
Mr.
Sure.
Goodbody taught me that.
I know.
Do you
the guy
that?
With the mesh
onesie
right.
suit that showed all of his organs?
I know.
Mr. Goodbody.
I was fascinated by that.
I was a little freaked out.
I thought it was amazing.
Of course, Chris would think Mr. Goodbody was amazing. It must be a doctor thing. But for our own good bodies, Chris is saying that the second most important thing we can do for our health is getting good sleep and waking at a regular time. Everything else, including cardiovascular health, metabolic health, and even mental health, depends on it. Sleep is that sneaky first domino that can put so many things in motion. So that's Chris's second tip, good sleep. Chris's third tip, and I knew it was coming, is exercise.
I would say that you watch your diet for your weight, but you exercise in order to be fit. And those are two separate things.
Okay. Tell me why.
And one of the first things that people usually say is, oh, yeah, I just need to get back to the gym. And I want to encourage that. And I say, yes, I think that would be a great idea for you to get back to the gym. But at the same time, I want to make sure I'm managing expectations and saying, if you're getting back to the gym and expect that that will solve your weight loss problems, I just want to kind of manage that and say that that is going to be, yes, a contributing factor, but yeah, most of it is going to be managing your diet. And I think that a lot of people can kind of try to look inside themselves and understand, well, where am I at? You know, what do I want? Like, what are my goals? And like, how badly do I want this? And what are my barriers? Yeah, you have to have a plan in place. And sometimes it takes a few tries to get into a rhythm of exercise, good sleep,
buy some good shoes, leave them out by your bed.
You have to kind of trick yourself.
There's so many different steps to starting either a new exercise program or a new sport or something like that, at least in my experience.
And can I credit our sister Gina?
Yes, let's.
Can we talk about Gina for a
second? Yeah, let's do a shout out to Sister Gina.
Sister Gina. So Sister Gina back, I don't know, 15 years ago said, hey, you guys.
Yep, just like that. It's so true.
Let's go run a half marathon.
Yes.
And I said, I just don't think I could do that.
I was like, I don't think I could run without stopping for a mile. Yeah. So I was like, why would I think I could do
And I couldn't. And I went and tried and I realized that I couldn't, and I'm embarrassed to say that because I should know better.
But we all said yes. All five siblings committed to.
And we all just said, look, let's just do it. It's like, you know, we were all busy. We had young kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could make all the excuses in the world and busy with a new practice and things like that. And it's just like,
I wanted to do it to save face, and I didn't want to be the worst one. And the liability. And can I tell you that the first time that I went to go run, I got a book, because that's what the Valentines do. We get books.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I read a book about running,
yes,
what I needed. And I was like, okay, so on this day, I need to do this. And the first day that I did it, it was in January. Mm-hmm. I put on my clothes, and I ran up the hill where I live, and I started crying. And I'm like, this is really hard. Why is it so hard?
Yes.
I did it. It got easier. But I am just saying that I remember it very dramatically. So I thought, I was like, I don't want Gina to make fun of me. She goes, it is like hard at the beginning, but if you push through it, it will be fun.
Right.
And she was right.
She was right.
But here's the thing that sort of bothers me about our society is that we have to do, like, we feel like diet, exercise, sleep, we have to make a big change. We have to do something big. Yes. We got to run a half marathon to start exercising. And I feel like that's the wrong message.
The original reason I brought up that story was to really validate what you said about making those small changes, you know, putting your shoes out and getting your stuff out and trying to kind of make it easy and remove those barriers and just celebrate the little wins. Because, and I don't want people to get the idea that you have to run a half marathon in order to do that.
I just wanted to make sure that that point is made, because oftentimes
little steps.
We're like all or nothing.
Yeah.
And then we say, okay, then I choose nothing.
I think just setting realistic goals and not being discouraged, not comparing yourselves. That's why I mentioned social media, because I think a lot of times we're really comparing those accomplishments, and I know that that's something you've addressed a lot on the show.
Yeah, because it's just, we swim in it.
Yes.
We swim in it. We're like, oh, well, I went on a walk for 2 miles, and I thought that was really great, but then you're like, but I didn't do an Ironman.
Yes,
you
know? I know. I find myself going, well, maybe I could, and then I'm like, no, I'm not doing an Ironman.
I just always think, at what cost? No Ironmans needed, folks. And you don't even have to run a half marathon. Chris's third tip is to exercise. But the caveat here is that you just need to do what works for you, not what works for social media influencers or even what works for your sister. If what works for you is going for a walk, great. If it's doing Zumba, fabulous, super fun. If it's practicing yoga, awesome. And if yoga is your thing, please teach me how to do that headstand pose. It's very impressive. But the key to exercise is that it's a lot easier when you have someone to help motivate you. And that's Chris's fourth tip. Find someone or something to help you get moving. For some of us, that may mean exercising with a friend or a spouse or group. Or maybe it's working towards a small incentive, like a new pair of shoes or dinner out with friends. Chris's source of motivation, however, is his virtual trainer, Kyle, whom he has never met. You want to talk about your trainer?
Oh, you, Kyle, you mean?
Yeah, Kyle really believes
in
you.
He believes in me. He does. And I realize that he works for Apple Fitness, but I know Kyle believes in me. He tells me every time.
I love it because I was asking you the other day, like, what are you doing for fitness? And you said, Kyle really believes in me. I was like, who's Kyle? And you're like, he just tells me what to do and I do it. And
he's
I was like,
pick up those, you can do it. And he's just like, you know.
It's like, it's so great. It's the best of technology.
It's so funny because I roll my eyes at it, but at the same time, you know, that motivation makes a huge difference.
I am a sucker for it.
And I thought I was like above that. I was like, no, I'm just going to lift these weights. I'm just going to lift these weights.
It's fine.
And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to try the Apple Fitness. Let's see. And then Kyle's just like, you're strong. I believe in you. And you're going to do this. You got like four more to go. And just think about how you're getting stronger. I'm like, yes, Kyle, I know you do.
Can I admit something to you?
Oh, please.
Allie makes fitness fun. I've said it. She's on my Peloton. Oh. And here's the thing. I have hundreds of classes to choose from.
Yeah.
But Allie gets me, and her playlists are the best. And Allie would just be like, listen, we're going to do this, then we're going to get on with our day. She knows that I'm in a hurry. She's going to make it worth my time. So I just follow whatever she says, and then I don't have to think about
it. Well, there
you go. It's great. Well, so I'm with you. As much as I make fun of you for Kyle.
No, I
have
I totally
my own
own
Kyle,
I totally
and her name
own
is Allie.
There you go. See, so you get it. It's just, and for a lot of people, that might be a family member, might be a friend. It's just finding that right vibe and just kind of leaning into it.
Tip number four, find your motivator. Maybe it's a neighbor or sibling or spouse, or maybe it's your very own virtual trainer like Allie or Kyle. It doesn't really matter. All that matters is that you find the motivation and support you need to get moving and get healthy. Chris has already provided us with some great tips. Eat real food, get sleep, exercise, and have a support system. I'm guessing you may have heard some of these before. I mean, they're the big ones, right? It never hurts, though, to be reminded of what will give us the best chance of avoiding a doctor's office. But Chris also has some advice on how to make the most of our time when we do have to go to the doctor. We all know our time with physicians is limited, and I wanted to know what we as patients can do to really make that time count. Chris responded with tip number five, and that is writing your questions down before you go to the doctor.
I think that coming prepared with questions, because people forget. I would forget. And writing all of those down in between visits. And ask critical questions about, like, where should I go to for information about this? I really, after a while, learned that I needed to ensure that I understood what was the patient's agenda for this visit, because sometimes it was very different than what my agenda was, because I would have a number of things, you know, from a prevention standpoint that I'd want to go over. So I think that starting out by saying, let's go through a list of the things that we want to talk about. Now, it's very possible that you might not be able to get to everything, but I can only speak for myself. I welcomed when they had a list so I could write down and say, all right, these are the things that we need to address. We may not be able to get to all of them today, but at least I have them in the chart so I know what needs to be managed, or maybe that I could kind of take away and come back to.
Tip number five, write your questions down. I don't know about you, but it's very easy for me to get flustered in a doctor's office. There's just something about sitting on crinkly paper in a one-size-fits-none gown and anticipating an exam that gets me a little off-kilter. But if I just keep my questions listed on my phone or a piece of paper, it doesn't matter what procedures come my way. I'm not going to forget to ask my questions. And there was one really important question in there that Chris suggested we ask, and that's, ask where to go for information. If you're like me, you tend to ask WebMD about things like your itchy feet, only to lose sleep after having diagnosed yourself with 29 different life-threatening illnesses. Don't settle for a WebMD when you can talk to a real MD. Make sure to ask them for resources and where to find more resources rather than just combing the web on your own. They can save you a lot of trouble and panic attacks. Now, one thing that can help with listening to the doctor and remembering what they say is to bring another set of ears. That may be as simple as just asking to record your doctor's feedback on your phone, but it could also mean bringing someone with you. That's Chris's sixth tip.
I would recommend bringing a family member with you, especially if there's a lot of elevated emotions. If you're anxious, if you're scared, if you're dealing with a serious diagnosis, if this is leading to a lot of significant consequences to your regular activities of daily living, bring someone with you, because that heightened emotion is going to make it harder for you to remember a lot of the details that otherwise you should remember.
Tip number six, don't go alone to important doctor's appointments. Bringing a family member to appointments, especially those that are stressful or out of the ordinary, helps twofold. That family member can help advocate for you by asking questions you may not have thought of on your list, and they can also help you remember what your healthcare provider says. Two memories are always better than one. But Chris has another tip of what to bring with you to your doctor that I hadn't ever considered. His seventh tip is to bring your medications to your appointment.
Just bring all your medications. Just bring them in a big bag.
Not just a list of them? Or not just a picture of the labels?
Of them. It's just better
really?
To bring all of your medications, because I...
Huh.
I've tried it different ways. Like, okay, they have it written down and they have it this and that. And it's just better.
Okay.
Know, just.
I've never done that. I'm going to start doing that then.
Just bring them all, because you never know. And I have been surprised many times where I just say, no, but we stopped that medication like already. Or this isn't even your medication. This is your husband's medication.
Oh.
And I'm not making this up.
I know you're not.
And so I just, after a while, I just realized, no, reconciling medications, I think, is critical. And then just bringing in the actual article is the best idea.
This is tip number seven, and one I had never considered. Bring your medication with you to your appointment. And it makes sense, right? How many of us remember the complicated names and doses of what we take? And what better way to be sure about what you're taking and how much of it than bringing the very prescriptions with you? So easy. Now, Chris's eighth and final tip, and my personal favorite, is just as easy and pays big dividends. In fact, when I asked him what the smallest, simplest, littlest thing was that we could do to improve our health with the biggest dividend, he said it all comes down to what we do after we eat dinner.
I would say after you have dinner, get up and go walk for 30 minutes.
Really?
Yes. You're looking for something simple that's going to have a high ratio of benefit. I would say after you eat dinner, get up and go walk for 30 minutes.
When I want to watch TV.
I know. And the reason is because our bodies are accustomed to wanting to say, no, we need all of that glucose that is floating around. I need to digest. Don't go out and run a marathon. Do not
go out and run
and don't go out and swim. I know.
You could really hurt yourself.
You could get a cramp and drown. Go out and by doing that, what is happening is after you eat, your insulin levels are rising in response to your consumption of these carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
And what is happening is that your body is wanting to convert those carbohydrates into storage, into fat, and is wanting to kind of manage these higher sugar levels. By going out and walking, you're kind of blunting that a little bit. You're burning some of those calories while they're still floating around before they are kind of converted into storage. And so by going
I know what you mean. You mean fat cells.
That's right. And so by exercising after that, it's a way to kind of blunt that insulin spike, which in the long run will have some health consequences. And I'll tell you that I did have one patient who was out of control diabetic, and he was on multiple medications, and he actually got off all except for one of his medications. believe it or not. One of the few patients that I had that was really successful in doing that. And a
lot
of—
And walked after dinner?
And I just said, look, I just got to ask. Because, I mean, I gave a lot of advice. Like,
yeah, you give a lot of advice.
Do this and all this stuff. And I said, what was the thing that made the biggest difference? And he says, we just used to sit around and eat dessert and watch TV after dinner. And we just decided after dinner we were going to get up and we were going to go out and walk. And that just left such a huge impression on me. There have been some kind of limited studies that would suggest that, yeah, there's benefit to that. And it makes sense. So if you're looking for something simple.
Small, simple, that has a big bang.
There you go.
Tip number 8. The simplest change for the biggest payoff. Take a walk after dinner. Who knew? Our big brother's the best. I knew we'd get some good advice from Chris when I asked him to come in, but I didn't know that we'd get 8 tips that can really improve our health outcomes, both inside and outside of the doctor's office. Chris reminded us to eat well, sleep well, exercise well. I hate it when he's right. And how to make your doctor's visits more effective. Ideally, we'll be doing all of these things from here on out, but here are the things I'm committed to doing. I'm going to eat less packaged food. Notice I didn't say no packaged food, just less. And I'm going to be more prepared for my doctor's appointments. You better believe I'm bringing my notes and my meds with me next time I go. And instead of watching an episode of something that I'm binging on BritBox, it's fine, it's nobody's business. Chris recommended it. After dinner tonight, I'm going to take the dog for a walk first. It's low impact, it doesn't require equipment, it's good for the soul, and it's free. Now, that's my kind of advice.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio, hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Erica Price, with help from Becca Hurley and Michael Combs. If you haven't subscribed to The Lisa Show on YouTube, you can find even more content on our channel, including The Council of Moms, filmed live in our studio. As always, thanks for your messages. We read them all, and thanks for listening.
I've got another podcast to recommend to you from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. It's called The Appleseed, and it's a show filled with stories for you and your family. Each episode features master storytellers sharing all kinds of stories, folk tales, fairy tales, personal and family tales. It's perfect for road trips, bedtime, or really any time that you're looking for something that the whole family can enjoy together. And the stories you'll hear, no doubt, we'll get your family sharing their own stories with each other. Listen to The Appleseed wherever you get your podcasts.